Are you ready for your Bible question? This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and the question we have today is a fill in the blank. It comes from Acts chapter 28 and verse 20, where Paul is explaining to the Jews that had come to him while he was in his prison house in Rome. They came to him, and he's explaining to them why it is that he is bound with this chain. And so the fill in the blank is this: for because of blank, I am bound with this chain. Did you get it? Because of blank, I am bound with this chain. Well, we'll get to the answer to that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, did you get the answer? Because of blank, I am bound with this chain. You fill in the blank with these four words: for because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. That's an interesting expression, the hope of Israel. You see, the Israelites had been hoping, based on the promises and the prophecies that they had received, that there was a Messiah coming and there was a kingdom coming. Now, they misunderstood that Messiah and that kingdom and thought of it as an earthly Messiah for an earthly kingdom. But that was not it. The hope of Israel lay in the spiritual Messiah that came, Jesus Christ, and his spiritual kingdom, the Church of Christ. Now, the hope of Israel was not some future, far off, premillennial reign. Paul was not preaching that. He was preaching, as we see in this very passage, the kingdom of God, no man forbidding him. That's the very last verse of the book of Acts. And that was the true hope of Israel, a hope they themselves did not fully understand. Let's get to this lesson and look at this Sunday school lesson. We were looking at Acts chapter 28 and verse 17 when we ran out of time in our last class. I'm going to return to Elam's notes, for he wrote a Sunday school lesson on this, these closing verses of the book of Acts, for the Sunday schools of December 13th, 1925. And he says that Paul had been accused by the Jews in Judea. These at Rome would naturally suppose he was guilty of some crime. And since he himself had appealed to Caesar, they would conclude that he, in turn, had something of which to accuse his nation. He desired to remove such wrong impressions, to state his case frankly and fairly to them, that he might stand before them in his own true light and more successfully preach Christ to them. He first told them of his arrest at Jerusalem by the Jews, though I had done nothing against the people or against the custom of our fathers, yet was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem by into the hands of the Romans. Now let's look at Acts chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Who, when they had examined me, desired to set me at liberty, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught whereof to accuse my nation. For this cause, therefore, did I entreat you to see and to speak with me, for because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. One point in Paul's favor was that when the Romans examined him, they found no cause of death in him and desired to set him at liberty. During all his trials, as we have seen, he was adjudged not guilty. He would have been set at liberty by the Roman rulers had not the Jews spoken against it. Paul did not relate here how the Jews at different times had wickedly plotted to kill him. He was not seeking vengeance and was not there to lay complaint against his countrymen. He was constrained to appeal to Caesar for the reason he states, and not that he intended to accuse his nation of aught. This was another strong point in his favor. That is, he was not there to retaliate or to seek vengeance. Paul appealed to the civil authorities at times for protection, but never for vengeance. He never sued any of his malicious enemies for slander or false imprisonment or any other kind of unjust and illegal treatment. Render no man evil for evil. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance belongeth to me. I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans 12:17-21. He was there as a prisoner in bonds, and this very fact created suspicion of guilt and cast serious reflections upon the great cause which he represented. Hence it was wise to bring out the two points mentioned above. Number one, he had been adjudged not guilty by the Roman rulers in every trial before him. And number two, he had appealed to Caesar, not only for protection, and not that he expected to accuse his nation of any mistreatment. Then why was he a prisoner? He stated clearly the case, as he had done before in his trials. Because of the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Israel had the hope of a Savior and resurrection, and this had been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. Now, verses 21 and 22. Acts 28:21-22. And they said unto him, We neither received letters from Judea concerning thee, nor did any of the brethren come hither and report or speak of any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, it is known to us everywhere that it is spoken against. Back to Elam's notes we read, They had doubtless heard of Paul as they had heard of the sect everywhere spoken against, but they had received no letters or authoritative statements from the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem concerning him. And none of the brethren had come there from Rome to report or speak of any harm of him. The Jewish brethren on board the ship had spoken no harm of him. These rulers had heard of this sect, everywhere spoken against, and desired to hear Paul. If before this they had refused to hear the gospel through prejudice, Paul's course had overcome this, and they were now willing at least to hear. On account of the evil reports and prejudice, some will now not even hear when one speaks the present only the truth. Everywhere the Jews had spoken against Christians, and now the pagans had begun to do so, preparing the way for the great persecution which was soon to come under this Caesar Nero. As to the beginning to the sect, as to belonging to a sect, Paul said before this, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call a sect, I serve the God of our fathers. Acts 24:14. This way today is not divided up into clashing, jarring, and warring sects as opposite to one another, and sometimes as the poles, and as different as day and night. Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Christ prayed that his disciples may all be one in John 17. Well, the Jews were there to hear Paul. We read in Acts 28:23-24. But when they had appointed him a day, They came to hear him into his lodging in great number, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying the kingdom of God, and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. A day was appointed, and they came into his lodging in great number. This lodging was his own hired dwelling, Acts 28:30. Paul pursued his usual course to convince his hearers that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. First, to show by the Old Testament or the Scriptures that the looked-for Messiah must suffer, die, rise from the dead, and ascend to heaven. And secondly, that Jesus of Nazareth had fulfilled all these prophecies and promises, and hence, he is Christ, the Son of God, Acts 17:3. This course Jesus pursued, and his conclusion was that if the Jews believed the Scriptures, they must receive him as the Messiah. John 5:39-47. Luke 24:44-47. This work was continued all day, from morning until evening. And the results of Paul's earnest and faithful effort among the Jews in Rome was similar to that in many places. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. The expression that they agreed not among themselves showed that they discussed this great question, and that because of their expressions of unbelief, Paul applied to the unbelievers in language from Isaiah, which we had read earlier. This passage is applied by Jesus to the Pharisees who rejected him, and by John and by Paul to the Jews. They were responsible for their unbelief. They closed their eyes and stopped their ears and would not learn and would not turn to Jesus. They themselves had made their hearts gross. With his duty discharged, Paul was ready to begin work among the Gentiles. In the last two verses of the book of Acts, we read, "And he abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling, and received all that went in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, no man forbidding him." This verse brings this interesting story of Paul to a sudden close. This work of preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ to all that went into him in his own hired dwelling continued 2 whole years with all boldness and none forbidding him. He preached all the whole gospel without restraint to all sinners and taught all Christians to be faithful in observing all things that Jesus had commanded. He not only did this, but sent messengers and wrote letters in the meantime to the churches and individual Christians. To the church in Rome and the churches elsewhere contributed to Paul's necessities in paying rent and supplying him with the necessities of life. The church at Philippi was one of these. Messengers to other churches made known his affairs and all things to them. This imprisonment at Rome, overruled by the Father in heaven, turned out to the progress of the gospel. For Paul says, "Though that my bonds became manifest in Christ through the whole Praetorian Guard into all the rest, and even reached Caesar's household," Philippians 4. This Praetorian Guard was the Imperial Guard, which camped just outside the city and whose business it was to guard the emperor and the prisoners to go before his court. Changing soldiers so often during the day for 2 whole years would cause a great many to hear the gospel preached by Paul. During this time, he converted Philemon's servant and sent him back to his master, offering to pay Onesimus' indebtedness to his master. We read that in Paul's letter to Philemon. We'll conclude this in the next class.